Welcome to the Asian Highway, where stories are told and everybody has a seat at the table. Join us on a journey each week as we explore the individual stories of the people who truly define what it means to be an American. This is Storytellers in Action, a podcast telling the story of our people. What's your story? All right, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whenever you are. You're on the Asian Highway. Welcome back to Season 3. We're in our fifth episode. Coming to you from a studio in Little Tokyo, this is the Potluck Studios. Special shout out to Visual Communications. Another shout out to Marvin Yue for producing another great episode. This is your host, Pimo, coming to you with another guest, another chat, another deep dive. Our favorite deep dive person is sitting diagonally across from me. Hello, Dibesh.
Good afternoon. Good evening, sir.
You forgot the good morning part.
No, morning. I know it was a morning. I'm just really confused from the time change.
So. You're always confused.
A little more so than usual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know who's not confused?
Who's not confused?
This lovely lady sitting next to me. Hi, Farial.
I'm literally never confused. And all if right. I am, literally, I'll never admit like, it. Oh, yeah. I say literally a lot.
Literally? You say literally?
Okay. I do. Yeah.
Isn't that like, there's a commercial that says that's the most overrated word of Listen, all time?
Literally is overrated.
I started saying it as a joke. And now it has become real, and I'm just accepting it. It's fine.
Okay.
Literally fine.
You know who's literally real? The person sitting across from me. Hi, good her time. Name is Laura Trent. How you doing, Laura?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You are a trained journalist who became an actress.
Yes.
A University of Oregon graduate.
Yes.
Pac-12 baby, I'm UCLA, so yay.
Oh, is this like, this is your life? Like, you are.
You are. You are here in Hollywood pursuing an acting
you
career.
Have
let's
these
keep this
attributes.
Going. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Let's keep it going. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Kind of confused by the time change, too.
Yeah, I think all of us are a little
so
confused.
Weird.
Except Farrell. Except she's never Farrell. Confused. Yeah.
She's literally never confused.
I'm never confused. I'm weirded out by it. I'm uncomfortable.
Are you saying
by
you're
it.
Weird or you're weirded
I'm
out?
I'm weirded out.
Yes. She's also weird.
Literally
Whatever,
weird.
Man.
So, Laura.
Yeah.
This is an audio only podcast, so people can't see the dynamic of what's in here.
They can't see us raising our hands.
They can't see us raising our hands. They can't see the red covers in the mics.
Darn.
They can't see Laura. Hmm. So we said Laura Trent, but that name would throw people off. So
absolutely.
What can you describe to the audience?
You know what we're trying to say here. You know what we're trying
to say. Describe to the audience, who are we looking at?
Yeah, so I am a Chinese adoptee. I was raised in Billings, Montana, and I never had the name... issues of people mispronouncing or thinking that my name was from somewhere else, as I know you guys have talked about on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But as a Chinese adoptee, in terms of representation and identity, that's something that I would love to unpack with you guys because
sure.
it's kind of super complicated.
Sure. We're going to ask the questions here.
So,
I'm wagging my finger at our guests.
Finger wag from two of us here, including me. What's people's first reaction when they see you and your name? And they see the name first and they see you?
I think it depends on where I am.
Okay. You're here in Hollywood.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
In LA, I guess I don't think that it affects either way because once I start talking, it's very obvious that I'm not like a fresh from China immigrant.
What about in a Billings, Montana situation?
Yeah, that's the real question.
Yeah, that is difficult for me to answer too because I grew up there. So I was adopted when I was 7 months and grew up in Billings, Montana. And so that's what I knew. I'm used to being the only non-white person in the room.
Mm-hmm.
When I go home, I'm easily the only not white person when in the airport. So that's normal for me. Being here is weird. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, there's brown people everywhere. What is this? Like,
I love it.
I see brown people.
Yeah,
I see brown
exactly.
People. The Shyamalan film.
Yeah. You better get on that. And so that is my normal. And when I was in school, my name was quote unquote normal. It was white. And honestly, the only Asian thing about me is the looks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am as westernized as it gets. My family is white. And I was raised in, like, one of the whitest cities in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any siblings? Or, you know, would you call siblings?
No.
No. So you're the only child in that family?
I am, yes.
Okay.
You seem very happy
I
want to
know
that.
Everything. What is that like?
Being an only child? I wouldn't recommend it, honestly.
Like, not the part I was asking.
I was growing up in a white community.
Yes.
Like I said, that's what I knew. And honestly, I didn't think about it until I was in college.
Okay.
Because you said you thought about it when you went to college. When you went to college, what made you say, oh, wow, like, this is different?
I was actually thinking about that the other day. I remember coming back to my apartment my sophomore year in school. I think I was around 20. And kind of having this realization that, like, I had been taken out of a country and a culture that I will never, ever be able to reintegrate into. I don't speak Mandarin. I was not raised with any of those cultural traditions or in, like, an area that had Chinatown or an Asian community. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, like, I wish I had had that because, like, my childhood was great and, you know, I'm fine and happy and have a great family. But it really kind of was this realization that when I was in grade school and middle school and high school, you know, I was quote white, mm-hmm. right? And honestly, my friends would tell me, they'd be like, oh, I forget you're not white. Like, they would say that to me. And so it was this kind of weird moment of like, wow, I'm not, like, I can't be Chinese, but I'm also not white.
And then college, where did you go for college? Let me ask that question.
Yeah, I went to the University of Oregon, which, coming from Billings, seemed really diverse. Oregon is not. Oregon's pretty white. But, yeah, you know, there was a Asian and Pacific Islander student union, and there was more diversity, for sure.
Mm.
But at the same time, like, all my friends, for the most part, are white, and that's what I'm used to. And I, not that I don't go out of my way to make friends that aren't white, but that's my comfort zone because that's what I know. That's what I grew up with. And I have two Asian friends at home who are both adoptees.
Hmm.
So they were also both raised in Billings, Montana by white families.
Did you ever feel like in your childhood, or I guess looking back to your childhood, do you feel like your parents or peers could have done a better job educating you about culture, or do you feel like it wasn't?
No. So I was raised by a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
And in Billings, funnily enough, there's actually a fairly large Chinese adoptee community.
Interesting. Okay.
Hmm. And so there's this organization called Families with Children from China, or FCC. And every Chinese New Year, we'd all get together, all the Chinese kids and all the white parents. And it's honestly one of the strangest scenes, I think, that I could paint for you.
I would like to be invited next time.
It's all these white, middle-aged adults in Chinese traditional attire. And then all these, well, at the time that I was going, middle school-aged Chinese kids who did not want to be reminded that they were Chinese, so they're in their, like, Hollister jackets playing on their phones.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where does it get complicated for you?
Tying it back to what you guys were talking about last season, it's where are you from, where are you really from? I'm really from Billings, Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people say, what's your ethnicity? But they don't understand what they're asking. My ethnicity is white. Mm. Like, my culture is white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My race is Chinese, is Asian, and then is Chinese. But, it's a weird, it's not like I can say, I'm this culture, but I don't fit into America. It's like, I'm American. I just don't look like what people think should match the culture.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting narrative because I think it's the same thing. Actually, I'd say it's the same thing that people like us go through, right? I mean, we're born here and we may not look like what people think, you know, what a small segment of the population says is the typical American, but we're American too.
Right.
Right. I mean, so it, in a way is what you're saying is not different from what we're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Us, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is my own ignorance in that when I think of Asia, it's like Chinese, Korean, Japanese, Vietnamese. I don't think about, you know, going farther west. And that's, is that the right way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going more east than
you're over here.
The ocean.
You're
right.
Here.
Right.
Unless you talk to a flat earther. I don't know. They might have other
That's theory. A whole other episode, man. Yeah. We're not doing that episode.
And so listening to, you know, these perspectives of Asian-ness and from all these different countries, it was kind of mind-blowing to me. And yeah, hearing that everyone, I think it's supernatural to feel out of place and want like a community, I think, regardless of your race, and especially in like in your early 20s, it's just like add the heightened because you have the angst going on, like what is going on in life. And yeah.
Did you, while living in Billings, did you ever experience, you know, any sort of discrimination, racism that you recall? Because I know you said that, you know, I'm white, or you would have friends say that, you know what, like, right. I forget that you're not white. So then my question would be.
Yeah, I would say definitely, but not necessarily blatant. Like, not something you'd see on a viral video of people using, like, slurs. I think it was a lot more subtle than that. I'd say in middle school, unfortunately, I went to middle school with a lot of mean girls. And that's a bad age for everyone.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, you ran into a few Lindsay Lohans? Okay.
Right. But
Lindsay
I think.
Lindsay Lohans? No, no. It's just don't mind him. That's not the right reference.
I think at that time, though, in my head, I'm going, oh, they're treating me this way because I look different. Mm. So, and, you know, that may have been part of it. I, you know, there's always going to be those instances of someone, like, pulling their eyes back and saying something. But that's almost, like, grade school-ish type. So that's, yeah. Nothing comes to mind where it's like, wow, they, like, were blatantly racist. And then I guess the other thing would be when people were started using quote-unquote good stereotypes, like, oh, you're good at math, or, oh, you're so good in school. And it's like, and like I said, I went to school with some other Chinese adoptees who weren't necessarily good in school. Like, I always was in the advanced classes and whatever, but, you know, to say that there's good stereotypes, I always, like, fight against that because, like, stereotypes literally are just meant to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always am like.
Well, it's also a different situation for you because you didn't have Chinese parents who, you know, like, I mean, I know for us, like, being Indian, for you being Pakistani, the pressures we had from our parents, like,
it's. Burial still traumatized.
Oh, my God. The amount of A's that I had to pull in.
Right?
Yeah.
It is a different dynamic for you because you're in a different kind of household than we were in.
Right.
Yeah. Right? So the expectations are managed differently.
Absolutely. Well, funnily enough, my family is very education valued.
Sure.
Like, that's, like, number one for them. So did happen to line up with Asian values. But, yeah, I literally can't imagine growing up in an Asian household with those, like, traditions and the culture.
So if someone were to ask you ethnically, who do you identify with most, would you say Chinese? Would you say white?
White.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, in some ways, it's kind of sad thinking, you know, that is something that I really will never be able to go back in. You know, of course I could move there and, like, try and learn Mandarin, but it's never going to be
the same.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, how's that any different than, say, one of us doing that, right? I mean, considering your background and the way you were raised in a white household, and it's no different from, let's say, maybe you or one of us trying to go back and take on a new culture. Because for you, I would assume it would be a new culture to pick up on, say, Mandarin and Chinese norms, which you weren't exposed to, right?
Right.
I mean, any thoughts on that?
So, but you were raised with parents, right, from?
No, you going to China is no different from me going to China to pick up a new culture. Cause I'm not Chinese.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
absolutely.
Right? I mean.
And it's. You know, in Billings and in Oregon, I don't think it's happened here. Chinese people would come up to me, and for some reason, they're able to tell that I'm Chinese. People can't always tell what race I am, and they will come up and start speaking Mandarin, and I have to be like, "I'm sorry, I was raised by white people." Like, English only.
That's your response. Sorry, I was raised by white people. I can't understand the words there. Come on.
And so it's. It's something that to me is normal, but when I look at people who maybe aren't transracial adoptees, it's, you know, it's something that I think heightens the level of making you like question your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Identity, that's a funny topic.
Yeah, so we talk about it all season, haven't we?
I know.
So, I have a question for you. Hollywood, still, and we're trying to move out of that, are trying to not typecast people, and I feel like, have you ever run into situations, I'm sure you have, run into situations where they typecast you as like, oh, well, you look Asian, so these are the characters, or do you feel like you have to...
And that's a tricky question just because it's a, do you play along to get parts and move your career and help the representation on TV and in film? Right. Or do you say, no, like, I'm not going to
do that,
but someone else will.
Right. You know? Yeah. And that's the problem. That's the fundamental.
I think in terms of stereotypes in Hollywood – you know, there's that show Fresh Off the Boat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And then I think it's a slow progress. And I think you've talked about this, how progress is falling forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so even if it's not necessarily great representation, at least we're on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more that people see people of color that aren't just black or white, then that's going to become more normal.
Yeah.
And I think it's slow, and we have a long way to go, but I think we're hopefully getting there.
Yeah.
From a representation point of view, and let's kind of extrapolate, your career goes well, you're on silver screen, small screen, wherever, and you're represented as, someone says you're Chinese American. How would you reply to that?
I actually saw a great... IMDb page. So do you guys know Lana Condor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was just in
Deadly Class.
And to All the Boys I've Ever Loved.
It's a good comic book, by the way.
Yeah. She is a Vietnamese adoptee.
Mm-hmm.
And on her IMDb page, it says Vietnamese born American. And I was like,
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
That's what you would do to
Chinese born American.
CBA.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a... like a show or a something, some media thing.
I think,
it's like an idea, all right?
Yeah, that's an idea. Yeah. That's not for
free.
Maybe
an AH1 production.
Yeah, you can Venmo Dinesh at.
Yeah, I think we have our lead actor.
There we go. We have our lead,
Producer over here.
Yep.
I think I've always identified as a Pakistani-American. I mean, like, first and foremost, I'm Pakistani. Both my parents are from there. I was raised very much heavily in the culture, but... I grew up thinking, like, I have certain rights and I'm allowed to do this and I have free speech and I can make choices. Mm-hmm. So that's where the American comes in.
Absolutely.
You know, so I understand that, but it gets so interesting and tricky when you grow up in a white family and don't really have a connection to your culture.
Yeah.
So you've never had the feeling of, like, do I need to go there? Do I need to...
I would like to go back. I haven't been back. There are quite a few adoptees that go back, you know, anywhere from age, you know, 4 to through their 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to go back. I think I would need to go with a group. I wouldn't try and just wing it.
Right.
Especially looking the way I do, people would come up to me and I'd, again, be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're saying. I can't respond.
But go – so you've been there before?
I have not. I haven't been back.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So – if you were to go there, is it more like, would it feel like traveling or would it feel like...
I think it would be, yes, like a vacation, but also kind of going back to see where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would go back and see the orphanage that I was at
and
the city that I'm from. But again, it's not going to be like I can go visit family there or go to my favorite restaurant and order something because I... definitely couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Chinese food dish? Just curious.
Yes. Mushu pork.
Mushu pork.
Yeah.
When did you discover mushu
Big
pork?
Big fan.
well,
you have a bestie over here.
oh, yeah. We're friends now.
I found this great restaurant in Chinatown here that has fantastic mushu pork.
Okay.
My mom used to always order it whenever we'd go to the Chinese restaurants in Billings. And mind you, these are Chinese restaurants in Billings. but yeah, it's just really good. The pancakes and the hoisin sauce.
Sure. Sure. So that was a fun question. Let's get other end of the spectrum. what would you say, and if you could go back to any point of your life, what would you say has been your biggest struggle with identity? Have you had any big struggles of like questioning yourself, questioning your situation, questioning others who are questioning you?
I don't think the Asian-ness has been my biggest struggle with identity. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of an age-related thing that I'm finding when I talk to literally anyone around my age, early to mid-20s, is just kind of going, what the hell's going on? We're all free-falling. No one knows what's happening.
Mm-hmm. In what? Please explain.
I think, especially in terms of career, after college, no one kind of knew what was coming and shit hit the fan.
Right.
And for me personally, I've being an only child, growing up around adults mostly, and not necessarily fitting in super well with my peers growing up, I'm pretty independent. And so I wasn't really worried about the Asian-ness part. And like I said, in college, it's something I'm still kind of working through.
Yeah.
But at the forefront is, what am I doing with my life? And I think regardless of your racial identity, everyone goes through that at this point.
Right.
You know,
right.
People are changing careers, changing college degrees, moving away from home. And so it's, yeah.
So let's talk about that real quick. You did make a change almost immediately. I mean, you went to school to study journalism, which is what I do for a living. I'm a journalist. But you immediately, you transitioned from school to a TV studio, and now you're acting. What was the thought process from school to now? Did you always want to be an actress, or just discovered it?
Yes. When I was younger, I did a lot of community theater. Mm-hmm. I sang a lot, so I did musical theater. Okay. And unfortunately, in Billings, Montana, when they do plays, they do very white plays. So when I would get callbacks for Wizard of Oz or the Von Trapps, you know, they didn't have an adopted Chinese daughter. So that like didn't fly. And then in high school, I kind of got away from that and was still doing a ton of choir and cheerleading. So I was really like, quote, all American girl, like high school.
Mm-hmm.
Went to college, didn't know what I wanted to do, went in undeclared, and ended up finding journalism at University of Oregon. They have a fantastic program.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of got involved in, well, you're required to do reporting. So really strong writing and editing. And then you can kind of choose your direction. You can do photography, videography, writing, kind of your choice. I really enjoyed the videography part and kind of was reminded that, you know, I was into being in front of the camera. Moved home after college. Well, I studied abroad and then I moved home and kind of was in that point of, what am I doing? Like, I need to get a full-time job, and kind of that moment. Got a full-time job at a TV news station in Billings and was there for 6 months, and I was like, wow, this is not what I want to be doing. This is not where I want to be. And had that realization of, okay, I don't want to wake up when I'm 50 here.
Right.
And so I need to either make a change or I'm going to continue to be unhappy. And so I had to make the decision to kind of follow what I had been wanting to do for a long time. And like I said, my family is very education is the highest priority. And in Billings, you know, if you tell people, oh, you want to be an actress, you want to move to California, they kind of roll their eyes and they're like, why would you want to do that?
That's where all the drugs are.
Where all the liberals are.
drugs?
Yeah, I know what's worse, the liberals or the drugs, right?
Well, to them it's the liberals, but.
Yeah, right, that's the same, yeah.
Pretty sad.
And, but that's where I grew up, like that.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the reality, yeah.
Yeah, and so I decided to move out here and like August of 2017, and made the move in that at the end of that year. So
has your mom visited you yet?
She has not. She's actually coming this month. I've seen her since I've gone. We travel a lot to see family because my family's all spread out. But she hasn't been back. She's not really into Southern California.
Has she been here before?
Because of the liberals or because of the
No.
It's the drugs.
I grew up in a very forward-thinking family, thank God. But I think mainly the amount of people and the traffic.
Especially compared to Billings, she's in Montana, right?
Yeah. Like she's lived there for a very, very long time, and she loves the open.
Yeah, I mean, heck, there was a stretch of time where Montana literally statewide had no speed limit. Statewide.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and right now it's 80.
Yeah. I mean, that's the norm out there. Yeah.
What?
That's slow.
Yeah.
If I'm going 40 down the freeway, I'm like, yes, no traffic.
Yeah. It's a totally it's a different.
Yeah.
So I traditionally have these very long, winded, deep dive questions.
Let me set it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Last time I called it the 4Ds. Okay. This time we call it the 5Ds.
Uh-oh.
The Dr. Dimesh Das.
Already isn't a good... Okay.
The Dr. Dimesh Das deep dive.
Ooh. Okay.
So get ready. Relax. Okay. It's going to take a few minutes to ask this question. So here we go.
Drink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you could probably grab a few.
Yeah.
So in listening to you talk about, you know, roles that were traditionally white, like you were talking about, say, like the Wizard of Oz and things like that. Yeah. In 2019, there's a lot of discussion a lot of the time when we're seeing, say, characters that are traditionally white. And we see this a lot, I think, in the superhero genre.
Aladdin, Disney, right. What you doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we see things like that. I know recently on some of these superhero shows, there's a show called Titans,
mm-hmm.
Where one of the characters was cast... is an alien in the character. The character herself is alien, but they had a African American actress cast. And when that happened, there was a lot of discussion about that. Even though the character is an alien, traditionally in the comics, she appeared closer to being someone who was Caucasian rather than someone who was African American, and people had a lot of thoughts about that. For an actor like you, someone with your background who grew up ethnically white, as you say, if there was, say, a remake of The Wizard of Oz and you wanted to play the role of Dorothy, would someone who looks like you, do you think that that's something that should be sort of, you know, kind of propagated, that like we should start pushing those boundaries, that characters that may have been a traditional race or ethnicity, should we be changing that sort of thing around, or do we kind of play along and stay with the tradition?
I would say absolutely we should be pushing that, because, you know, white people have no problem doing that.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, Emma Stone is playing a half, Chinese person in Aloha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton is taking a Chinese, or Asian person's character in Doctor Strange.
Right.
And then if you look at Avengers, the only Asian character in that is, again, like, quote-unquote subhuman, is, like, treated as a pet.
Mm-hmm.
All the other characters,
the other white characters get to do whatever they want.
Right, and the best we can't forget about Indiana Jones.
Oh, man.
Right.
Which, Raiders of the Lost Ark,
and the second one.
The second one's bad, too. Well, Raiders of the Lost Ark has its own issues with the prosthetics.
Mm-hmm.
Of Caucasian actors being shown as being Asian, Nepalese, I think that's where they landed. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since I saw Raiders, but right, as well as, mm-hmm. And I think being of Indian or South Asian origin, Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom, a lot of the stereotypes and things that are pushed
right
through that are a bit troubling.
Yeah,
and all the Iron Man movies, all the villains were... these Middle Easterners were speaking Farsi on the outside, but then they were speaking Arabic when they were in
and they spoke Urdu, I think.
And then they spoke Urdu, and it's like, languages. You want to get one language just and keep it just racist, or you want to get all of it?
Well, like, I remember in Temple of Doom, the guy who was in the cave kept saying jaldi karo, which means hurry up in Gujarati.
Yeah.
It's all he would say.
It's
the only thing he would say, jaldi karo. It's only two words out of his mouth. Like, that's all we speak, two
As
words.
As a kid, though, I did like seeing Amrish Puri in the film.
Bollywood. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. So I actually have a follow-up question to this, which is tied to an interview that ran in Vanity Fair with Eva Green. She was asked, because, you know, I don't know if Eva Green starred in a Bond film. She was a Bond girl back in Casino Royale. And she
arguably could be a top five Bond. Well, it is, I think, a top five Bond
film. You and I had this talk. I think it's a top five Bond. Yes,
I agree. Yes.
She was asked about the prospect of having a female Bond. James Bond now is Jane Bond. Mm-hmm. So we're taking Ian Fleming's character and making a female role. And she said, no, keep James Bond as James Bond. If you want to create a separate female spy character, that's fine. But this is Ian Fleming's creation. Let's keep that to a male. You could make it a different race, maybe, but don't cross the gender line. So what are your thoughts on her thoughts on that?
Again, people just being finicky to be finicky. It's a made-up story.
I don't know. Maybe I'm on the opposite aisle. I think that there's always going to be people on both sides of things like mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And it would be interesting to hear like her background and why she felt that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any reason why it couldn't be switched.
Right.
Like, yeah. If you're getting defensive about it, that shows like a masculinity problem to me versus... Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think Rachel Weisz also agreed with her. Rachel Weisz had said, you know, she had taken Rachel a similar role. But she had said, it's a creation of this one author. And so the role is that. So they're not just what they're arguing. I'm just kind of curious on like, what your response to that is, if you have one. But you've kind of already covered that.
Yeah, I guess the way I see it, you know, there was the female Ghostbusters mm-hmm. I saw. It was fine. It's not the same as the male Ghostbusters, but they're not trying to be the
right.
same. Right,
yeah. Right. And I think that would be a great way to look at it. Right. You're not trying to be the same, right?
It's going to be a different story because it's a female character.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Devesh, do you want to add on to that with any of your deep dive?
No, you got the follow-up. That was my deep dive. I wanted to keep
that
it
wasn't
nice
too
and
deep.
Easy.
That wasn't too deep.
No, it was nice and easy.
Oh, she said that's not too deep, man. You got to ask a deeper question now.
A deeper question than that? I don't know.
Yeah, I added an extra D for you. You didn't take it there, man.
It was just, you know, I wanted to keep it nice and light on episode 5.
Oh.
So.
Well, just so you know, she can handle it.
I can assure you
that. So what was
the like white people jokes? Like, can I make white people jokes?
Do you live near LAX?
I guess it depends.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't like when things get... I don't like easy humor. It needs to be clever, you know?
Yeah.
And so if it's like, oh, like a fart joke or something really raunchy, it's like you didn't have to work very hard to come up with that.
Right.
You know, I like things that... kind of maybe make you think a little bit, or obviously is well thought out.
Punny.
So puns are a little low. A little low on that, but okay. If it's really good.
Since we're all over the place, I'll ask this also. Yeah. I always like asking about looking forward, paying it back. If you were to be able to guide someone who's younger than you, maybe someone in Billings, Montana, someone who's maybe trying to find their way.
Yeah.
From your own life experiences and everything you've experienced mm-hmm. while there, as well as through college and even living in LA, what are some salient points that you would kind of share with that person? Yeah.
I think to start to be clear, every adoptee experience is really different.
Sure.
So my experience compared to other people, it's not comparable. I personally know of adoptees who ended up in terrible situations, mm-hmm. who, you know, are no longer speaking to their family. It's not something that I think I can, you know, dole out in that sense. And nationwide, because there's Chinese adoptees internationally.
Yeah.
And I'm part of groups on, like, Facebook, and I see, you know, they're posting, they're like, oh, my God, like, my relationship with my adopted parents, why is this my life? Like, I want to go back to China and find my birth parents. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was never a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for many adoptees, it is. And so I would say to start, let's say they're in a family situation that is healthy.
Right.
I would say do your best to find a good group of friends, because the people closest to you are who you're going to lean on when things aren't going great. And I think in general, that net is not necessarily an adoptee thing. I think it makes it a little tougher, especially not having siblings.
Yeah.
That makes it tougher.
Yeah.
But honestly, just doing your own thing. Like, that worked for me pretty well. I did what I liked. I really enjoyed art, and I really enjoyed singing and theater, and so that's what I did. And then when I focused in school, like, I was good at school.
Yeah.
In my life, things have always kind of worked out okay. So I'm just kind of going along and assuming, you know, the world's not going to end. But for a lot of people, that is not the life that they've lived. So I don't think I can speak to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have another fun question.
Okay. And I have a fun question after your fun question.
What's the most LA thing that you, because I know Billings, Montana is not LA.
It's the opposite.
I have family in North Carolina. Yeah, I have family in North Carolina. And well, one time I was talking about vegan food and the guy that was in front of me in line, none of his business, straight up was laughing and was like, vegan food? Where are you from? And I was like, listen, man.
The Carolinas, though, are like the South, though. That Montana is definitely not the South. Montana is kind of its own little. We're not necessarily Midwest. We're not East. We're not South. We're not Pacific Northwest. We're just kind of, it's pretty there, and there's not very many people. There's a lot of cows.
Just mountains.
Lots of cows.
Mountains and plains.
And 80 mile an hour speed limits.
And Phil Jackson.
Lots of guns.
Yeah, Phil Jackson. He has a lot of guns.
Most LA thing.
The most LA thing that I've seen.
Yeah. Where you're like, oh, man.
That is so cliche. Yeah, it's so cliche, LA.
I don't know if there's a particular instance. I just think every time I go out, LA is so exhausting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Being around this many people when I grew up in a town of 100,000, which is about the size of Culver City, but then there's nothing around Culver. Like, imagine like Culver City, but like nothing around it. It's just exhausting. Yeah. And when I kind of see how that affects people, and it does, it absolutely affects people. You know, people are more, I think, quick to be angry at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, just being tired after driving, you know, driving from Santa Monica to downtown, it's an hour and a half. Like, God.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Tell you.
Got to find some good podcasts.
A lot of soul searching.
I just say it's exhausting. And not necessarily like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Because I like LA. Like, I enjoy being here. I love the palm trees. It's great weather compared to Montana.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, exhausting.
So let's finish with something fun to not be exhausting. Can ask you some quick questions, yes or no answers.
Oh, yeah.
In-N-Out, overrated or not?
No.
Voodoo's Donuts, overrated or not?
No.
Montana Barbecue, overrated or not?
I don't know what Montana
I don't know. What would you say is a cuisine of Montana then?
Really good beef.
Okay, so a beef brisket. Right?
Yeah. Not brisket, like good steak.
Good steak, okay.
Fantastic, because the cows are like grass fed.
Yeah.
So what's the best steak in Montana? Or at least in Billings.
In Billings, there's this restaurant up in what we call the Heights, because we're in a river valley, so it's up on the rims.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, I think, Bull Mountain Ranch. I think. It's been a while since I've been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hollywood sign, overrated or not?
No.
Look at you. I like it. No. I'm overrated.
Yeah, no. I'm still pretty new.
Right.
You know, I haven't been here long enough to be super jaded.
Okay, LA's beaches, overrated or not?
No, the beaches are great. Like, I grew up landlocked.
Yeah, so it's all new to you, right?
Yeah.
Disneyland?
Disneyland, have been?
I haven't been to Disneyland.
I'm missing out on everything. That is,
it's kind of expensive.
Barry Muller and I are kind of just quiet about this.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care about their opinion.
What's that place called, huh? I've never
heard of it. Anaheim?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Don't listen to them. I mean, yes, very expensive.
I've heard great things. I've been to Disney World.
Okay, yeah.
That's the knockoff.
Yeah, Disneyland is the original.
It is. Last question.
Okay.
You're retired. You talked about being 50 and not want to be so ready. Let's talk about you being retired.
Okay.
Where are you retired at? What's your ideal place to call it a life?
Billings, Montana?
No.
Let her answer it.
No. I mean, it was...
I just wanted the reaction.
It was a good place to grow up, but I'm not going back.
Yeah. Yeah.
For many reasons.
Sure.
I would say, you know, 50. Hopefully, I'm still working in film and TV.
50 is an early age.
Yeah, that's an early retirement.
Nothing wrong with that if you're rich enough.
Right.
You know?
I ideally would like a home here for the winters, mm-hmm. and then in summer in Oregon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What part of Oregon?
Haven't decided that yet.
Because you know what? I've actually thought the same thing. Because I love the Oregon coast.
Oregon is fantastic.
Yeah, Oregon coast.
I love the Oregon coast.
But just tell people it's terrible so they don't go up there.
Yeah, I'd go to Astoria. That's where I would go.
Astoria? Yeah.
That's where I would go if I went.
I had some good meditation out there. Like, yeah. It's a great place.
Newport's pretty cool, too. I like Newport.
Yeah. Or possibly Washington.
I heard it's amazing food in Portland.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Portland is cool. It's like a foodie place. It's the up and coming.
We didn't talk about her being a foodie.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, audience, she's a foodie. Laura's a foodie.
I enjoy food. I'm not someone
who takes pictures. Where's your favorite restaurant here?
Pictures.
Oh, good. No, that doesn't mean you're a foodie.
And I think I told you guys this, like, I'm not a girl who's like, I'm a foodie and takes a bite and, like, that's it. Like,
we're going to eat it.
Empty plate. There is a fantastic pasta place near my house called Pasta Sisters. And to be fair, I haven't been to a lot of places just because I don't have, like, an endless money supply where I can go out to eat a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it is run by these two Italian sisters, and they make their pasta fresh every morning. And they have two locations, one in Culver City and one in Mid-City. And it is fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah, Mid-City and Culver City have really great restaurants.
Yeah,
we'll have to check it out.
It's very much a chef culture.
Yep. Yeah. We'll have to check it out. Yeah. Laura, where can we find you online?
Yeah,
someone wants to find out more about you.
You can follow me on Instagram. It's Laura in LA, LAURA underscore IN underscore LA.
Nice. That's a lot of underscores.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I like it.
Yeah. Dibesh, where can you find H1?
That's what I meant.
There's another side conversation here.
You can find us on Google Play Music, on Spotify, iTunes, the Google Podcast app, or any app you like using to listen to podcasts.
And how would you search for us?
You could search for us on The Asian Highway, Storytellers in Action.
Mm-hmm. All right. And also don't forget to visit our website, which is ah1.live. We've always had regular articles posted on there. So check that out while you get a chance. Dibesh, where are you on Instagram?
On Instagram, I am at @FreshDibesh.
All right. Ferial, where are you on Instagram?
Don't Google me. It's not necessary. I'm not doing that.
Okay.
That's all I have to say about Instagram. Don't do it.
You can find me at parimal.rohit. That's parimal.rohit. And once again, thank you to Marvin UF for producing. Thank you to Visual Communications. We're here in the Visual Communications. Well, we're here at Visual Communications in the Pollock Studios in Little Tokyo. I'm PMO signing off for Ferial and for Laura and for Dibesh.
Be good, y'all.